Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. Up in the captain's chair in the Jean Bosch Memorial Studio on the magical Isle of Vashon, for I am returned safely and having had many adventures during this past week since my last broadcast, which came to you from the Veterans Memorial Park, halfway down the Florida Keys on my way to my Ingham reunion. My broadcast today in particular goes out to all of us who have worn the shield, all of us who are associated with those of us who have worn the shield, and all who are a part of our Coast Guard family and of our Coast Guard life. And I make this greeting today in particular because this last week I have been surrounded by brothers and sisters, wearers of the shield, all of whom who served with honor. And I've got a number of adventures to relate, so this is all in fulfillment of my mission on this broadcast, which is for every one of you who gives me a half hour of your time every Tuesday afternoon, or more of your time later on if you listen to me by archive, on voiceofvashon.org, and streaming live, voiceofvashon.org, and broadcasting live, 101.9 on the FM band. The Binnacleist this week is a static one, except with my own report, which shall be brief and pithy, so to speak. No member has left the Binnacleist in the unapproved way by crossing the bar. And all of the people that are in the palm of my hand who are on the Binnacleist are either steady as she goes or are moving forward. In my own case, having successfully separated myself from Mr. Foley, I took a gamble with making this trip to Florida because I didn't quite know exactly how all was going to flow. Well, flow it did, and flow it does. But I am retraining myself to handle such that you need not be concerned about melting yellow snow anywhere close to me soon, I hope. And in the meantime, I have adopted pro tem, and for hopefully a short period of time, what I choose to call absorbent underwear. However, that humiliation is not nearly as bad as lugging around extra weight strapped to my leg as I move around through airports. And all will be well. I am firmly up in the captain's chair. I am firmly in command of all that I am privileged to command. Enough of that for the Binnacleist for this week. Before I go into the sequence of events that took place during the week between today and last week when I broadcast live from that lovely beach park in the Florida Keys, I brought into Captain Joe's people an unexpected but very welcome new member. And this new member's came to me because the Coast Guard cutter Burton Island, which is a sister to my Northwind, I had worked with Burton Island during one of the deep freeze operations, and her captain, Captain Jim Fournier, was then and is now a good friend. He is 2-3 classes senior to me at the academy. And they're having their own reunion in Reno, the most unlikely place in the world for icebreaker people to convene. And I had hoped that I would be able to go to that. And so I was in touch with one of the organizers, and his name is Doug. And Doug was a third-class electrician's mate and a diver. And he then went into the Army, and he retired as a major in the U.S. Army. And I had told him that I wanted to come down. Would they be willing to extend an invitation? And even though I had never commanded Burton Island, I was very familiar with her. I had worked with her. Her captain, Captain Fournier, was a good friend. And would they be willing to extend an invitation for me to come to Reno and be a part of their celebration? And they came back and they said, visit most welcome. And then some of my treatment plans got changed, and I probably am not going to be able to do it. But in the meantime, Doug sent me a piece that he had written when he was in scuba school, dive school. And he sent it to me, and he said, Captain Joe, if you'd like to read this to your group, then he would be pleased if I would do that. Well, the Ingham reunion turned out to be so full of other things that were specific to Ingham herself that I did not get to do it. But I am going to read the entire thing here before I get into my a description of my week in fulfillment of my mission for all of us to feel a little bit better about ourselves and the world in which we live. So this is from Doug Huckins, and he says, Captain Joe, I wrote this many years ago for Memorial Day as I thought of these men. If you'd like to share it with your Ingham crew, please do. So, Doug, I am sharing it with far more than just my Ingham crew. It is going out over my broadcast to all of Captain Joe's people. And it is titled, A Tribute to My Friends. And he wrote this because he wanted to recognize one of his classmates in this school who had saved his life. Now, for those of us who have spent our lives in sometimes very hazardous and risky situations, this particular piece will certainly, I think, strike very close into your heart as it did to mine. And so I'm going to read the whole thing, and then from that I am going to move into the description of my week. So Doug goes on, he said, the title of this is A Tribute to My Friends. I remember each of you, fellow comrades in arms, all volunteers willing to give our all to ensure no others would come to harm. Red beret, green beret, camo boonie, or flat hat. Parenthetical insertion here, this was during the time when the Coast Guard enlisted uniform included a flat hat. We laughed and groaned, trained like never before, sweat leaching from all of our pores. Now, keep in mind that this is being written by a student in the scuba school, which included people who were, here we go, Air Force and Army, Marines and Coasties too, taught by tough sailors with a tough job to do, teaching us to face and control our fears, even in blackness of night, learning that with a buddy we could overcome our fright. In a world that was foreign to us, we could overcome and survive. Over 50 years have passed with your picture on my desk. Daily I think of you and pray that all return home, knowing in my heart of hearts that Vietnam kept some. Gunny, as my buddy, you saved my life 40 feet down. I knew when all went to crap that you'd be around. We celebrated your wedding and threw you in the drink, knowing that the day would come for us to be called apart. How many of you return to laugh and love and live again? One look at my graying hair that's becoming more like snow, and my heart breaks all over again, for I know I'll never know. To you, my friends and warriors, no matter your rank, we laughed and lived as young men do after pulling off a prank. My prayer is that you all came home and were welcomed with open arms, although spit upon by ignorant ones, we chose to hold it in and stood a little taller, even jutting out our chins. And what he's referring to there, of course, is the people who returned from the Vietnam War were often looked at with disdain, is the kind word for it. And then he goes on to say, while I was diving under ice, part of a cold war at the top of the earth, you were crawling and fighting in mud and got rescuing some and losing others. How grateful I am and always will be to have served with you as brothers. That's the end of the piece that Doug wrote and that he sent to me, and he gave me permission to deliver it to my Ingham crew, and I am now delivering it to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world with many, many thanks, because obviously this is something that has stayed with Doug for his entire life, and his sense of gratitude for the person who saved his life. We can only imagine the diving accident. I had divers in my Northwind. I had divers in Ingham. And it is, especially diving under the ice, is really tricky business. So, Doug, many, many thanks for that. And I will send you a signal and let you know that I broadcast it over the airwaves from the captain's chair, and you'll be able to hear my delivery of it on the archive if you were not able to listen alive. So on to the week. The first big event after I got to our hotel in Key West was a gathering on the quarterdeck, a sunset gathering on the quarterdeck of the first night. The quarterdeck where, when I was her XO, that's where I would muster all of ship's company for a muster, which is called quarters, for those of you who are not shipboard types. XO presides over quarters, the captain does not. And the first pipe is officer's call, and all of the officers line up in front of their men. They get a report from the chief that all are present or accounted for, and then they march up and line up in front of XO. And when XO is ready, he calls them to attention, and he said, officers report, and they report that their divisions and their departments and their divisions are all present or accounted for. So we had this sunset, and sunset in Key West is a big ceremonial event. Everybody is always looking for the blue flash. It is a lovely time of the evening. And so that was the first event. We had our sunset. And then the next event was one in which I carried out my function as the senior living captain in Ingham. My job was to read out the names of all of our shipmates and their spouses who have crossed the bar in the 2 years since the last time we got together. This one was particularly poignant to me because there were a couple of people that I had known well. And so that was that event, and then that was followed by the opportunity to tour the ship, and then the next thing that happened was that we took a catamaran sunset sail, and once again we were able to observe the sunset, but no green flash. And it was another great time for all of us to remember. And one of the things in particular that was really special for me was that the captain that I served when I was her XO, the captain that I served was Captain Neil Westfall. And Neil's two children were with us. And we had a chance to spend some really, really good time together. Parenthetical insertion here. When we were finished with the final dinner, the night, which was the following night, Carl, Neil's son, presented me with a miniature Cutterman insignia that had been his dad's. The opportunity for a little bit of choking up presented itself over and over again during this whole three-day period. The following night was the traditional banquet, and the president of the organization, the Ingham Society, Ingham Association, was presented with the John Waters Award. Now, Captain John Waters is a legend in the Coast Guard. He was a search and rescue specialist. He wrote the definitive book about the Coast Guard participation in the Battle of the Atlantic, which included my own Ingham and at least one German sub sunk. And the award was created to honor him and to honor people who had been particularly helpful in keeping the story and the memories of the Coast Guard cutter Ingham alive. And so the current president, who has done a splendid job, was honored as this year's John Waters Award winner. After he was presented with the award, your captain sprang up and I said, award winner, do you have a knife in your pocket? And he said, no, Captain Joe, I left it behind. And I reached into my starboard pocket and I pulled out my rigging knife. And I said, would you accept mine as it is slightly used, but always in honor? Would you accept mine and put that forevermore in your starboard pocket? And I do have another one at home. And he said, I would be delighted to accept that. And so we had a little informal knife presentation ceremony, including opening the knife to show the Marlin spike. So that was I've got to move along here in a smart and seamanlike fashion. I'm taking too long on some of these elements because I want to get to the next thing that happened, and that was the following day. My friend Pam from Lothian, Maryland had joined me, and we had decided to take another sunset cruise on a schooner this time. And I was wearing not an Ingham t-shirt, but I was wearing a t-shirt that talked about Northwind, and it had her hull number, and it's on the chest of my t-shirt. And this gentleman walked up to me, and he said, were you her captain? And I said, yes, I was. And he said, my daughter has just been promoted to lieutenant commander, and we are celebrating. And I said, present my compliments, and I will present them to her personally. But what I did not know, what became clear very quickly, was that the new lieutenant commander is the daughter of the recently retired commandant of the Coast Guard, Admiral Linda Fagan. Admiral Fagan and the recently retired Master Chief of the Coast Guard and the senior enlisted advisor for Atlantic Area, Master Chief Bosun's Mate, and a whole lot of other Coast Guard people. They were all on this cruise. So I'm sitting aft right next to the captain, right near the helm. I had selected a little flat area back there as the captain's chair, even though I was not in command here. And pretty soon, this lady comes up and she plops herself down right next to me, and she said, "I am Captain Joe, I am Linda Fagan." And I looked at her and I said, "I know who you are." And followed there, the most amazing coincidence. How do these things happen to your captain? One never knows how they happen to your captain. So the recently retired commandant, her daughter, the father of the daughter, I'm not quite sure of the relationship there, but in any case, the father of the daughter, maybe no longer with Admiral Fagan, doesn't matter. And Master Chiefs popping out of gear lockers all over the place. This young Lieutenant Commander, newly promoted Lieutenant Commander, now a high-ranking officer in Sector Key West. All of these people on this sunset cruise. And then at the end of the cruises, we were leaving the schooner and laying ashore. Admiral Fagan came up to me and she put her arm around me and she said, "Can we get pictures of all of us together?" Thus ensued the obligatory picture-taking agony. It is an agony to me because I believe that I take awful pictures. And as I acquire even more chronological years, they become even worse and worse. But when a 4-star comes up to you and puts her arm around you and says, "Captain Joe, can we all take some pictures together?" And then this Master Chief gives me a challenge coin. And how could I say no? And I didn't. And so we made some, which I have yet to see any of these photographs, but they are promised. And now I have this whole new group of Captain Joe's people that are connected to me, connected to Admiral Fagan. So I did go, I said, "Admiral, I'd like to have a private word with you." And she said, "Fine, what do you want to talk about?" And I said, "I want to know how you were told that you were going to be so unceremoniously retired." And she told me the story, and it is a terrible story. For someone who has spent from her teenage years in our service, doing the best she could, maybe not doing things the way I would have done them or the way I would have advised her to do them, if I had been one of her advisors, in fact, clearly not. But someone like that to have been treated that way was not only an insult to her, but it is one that is an insult to all of us who wear the shield. And I told her that. So that was the sunset cruise. Oh, and during the dinner, the night before, there was a Coast Guard 1-star who was involved in the drug interdiction business, and he came over to me and he said, "I know who you are, and I've heard all about you." And he said, I've had 4 commands afloat. Can you beat that? And I said, yes, I can. 6 commands afloat, plus a group. Well, cocky little one star. Maybe now settle down just a little bit. On the homeward bound trip, a couple of other things happened that were of interest. One thing that I will put out a warning on is that so long as this government is shut down the way that it is, that there are going to be more and more slowing down of, in particular, air traffic controllers. And the captains of the aircraft that I was in are doing just a splendid job dealing with all of this. And in particular, not only of being extremely cautious and extremely safety conscious, but also of keeping their passengers advised as to why there are delays going on, because we had several. And in fact, I almost did not make one of my connections coming home. So one of the things that did happen coming home was that I had checked in for a flight from Miami to Denver, the flight from Miami to Denver, and the guy at the kiosk, the agent at the kiosk, piped me up there, and I went up, and he said, this gentleman standing next to me would like to ask you something. And gentleman standing next to me said, he said, would you be willing to swap seats? And I'm in 1 alpha, which is the outboard seat on the port side. And my wife is in 1 foxtrot, which is the outboard seat on the other side. And you are in 1... What one are you in? You are in 1 Bravo, and could we swap so that I can sit next to my wife? And I said, of course. So I moved into 1 Alpha. He moved into my seat, which was 1 Echo. That's it. That's the way it went, 1 Echo. And so I thought, certainly we are not going to have demonstrations of blanket tag or couch hockey. But I thought that certainly they would have some sort of interesting communications. He didn't talk to her during the entire 4-plus-hour flight, which I thought was very interesting. So anyway, I move over into 1 Alpha. I get settled down and awaiting the arrival of my seatmate. And it turns out that my seatmate is a young man, probably about 25, maybe 30, but certainly no more. And he had his very large service dog. So I'm sitting next to this gentleman with this very large service dog. Dog was extremely well behaved, but he was big and he took up a lot of space, and getting around him when it was necessary for me to make the 1 or 2 head calls during that flight, meant that I not only had to go around his owner, but over him. And whether it was that caused it, or maybe it was just the nature of this particular breed of dog, this turned out to be a particularly flatulent service dog. So I am being just a good captain and saying, sure, you can have my seat and I'll take yours, 1 Alpha. Little did I know that not only was my seatmate going to have a service dog, but that there was this sort of yellow fog that emanated from the environs of this dog. Okay, enough of that. I got home safely. I got home around 1 o'clock this morning. I did not have to get the last ferry, but I got the next to last ferry. And I am here now for at least the next week. I will be looking at whether I can maybe reorganize something in order to go to the Burton Island reunion, but probably not. And in any case, I want to thank everybody who has been involved with the Ingham reunion. They did an absolutely splendid job. And the people that were with the various cruises that we took, and even the young gentleman who was being watched over by the flatulent service dog. On the 13th of October is the 250th birthday of the U.S. Navy. Anchors away to all of my Navy brothers. I've spent probably a third of my command time under Navy operational control. I have the highest regard for those who are the professional seamen.